Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
The title is, What I Think When Things Go Bad. And anybody have a bad day this week? Hands up if you had a bad day this week. Okay. What about this month? Anybody have a bad day this month? Okay. Anybody had a time in their life where they felt like they were having more bad days than good days? Okay. Well, we're going through a series all summer about how to deal with betrayal and rejection. And that's one of the most painful things that a person goes through. And we're in the first section where we're talking about accepting rejection. Just accepting it. This happened to me. It happens. It happened to Jesus. Anybody here better than Jesus? Okay. Hearing nobody, then I'll just say that if it happened to him, it's going to happen to me. And if it hasn't happened to you before, it's going to happen to you soon in the future, and probably a few times. So that's the point. What I think when things go bad is, remember I told you what you think is the most important thing about you? And what you think about God is the most important thing about you. And what you think when things go bad is the most important moment for you. And so there's a passage that is very familiar to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I liked when we read the scripture here a couple of weeks ago. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to it. Other people will be watching this teaching by video. They can also turn to it. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's what it says. Let's all try to read it together if you can see it. I'm not blocking you out. Sorry, man. You stand in front of the screen and then say, let's read it. Okay, but it says this. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Now, many, many years ago, nearly 40 years ago, I preached on this passage for the very first time, and I only preached on the first verses, and I left out the last verse. So just remember that, because I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. So we're just going to take these verses one at a time. Can we put the first one up? No. That's our main passage. If you don't have yet, no. The one we just read. So this, if you don't have this as a separate verse, that's okay. It's fine. You can just see it there. And then the point that this verse is making is this. When I'm in a corner, he is there. And that idea of being, share, just leave those. If it's not, start over, scratch. No problem. Forget about those verses. They're not in today's sermon. It's only the 2 Corinthians 4 verses, and if we are not able to have those, let's just have nothing. Otherwise, I'm confusing you. I don't want to confuse you guys. Okay, so back to the main passage, the whole passage, and do you have the first point of that? Good. Let's put that up. When I'm in a corner, he is there. And the reason I use the phrase, when I'm in a corner, is because in the text it says we are hard-pressed on every side, or we are afflicted on every side. But the idea of this word here is in a narrow, closed place. Now, my wife has claustrophobia, so I don't think she'll mind me just sharing her personal details here, because I also have this. Anyone have kind of like a thing of, oh man, if I ever got stuck in a tunnel, I couldn't move either way, and I couldn't go forward, and I couldn't go backward, just kind of this, the idea of being in a constrained space. But sometimes in life, we feel like that. We feel like we're cornered, like things are pressing in around us, like there isn't a way to escape. Anybody that works closely with me or has in the past would say, whatever you do, don't make them feel trapped. Trapped is the worst thing. We give our worst responses and our worst reactions when we're like, there's no way out. And God has made men, I will tell you, to get out of traps. And so how we think when we start to feel trapped at work, at home, at school. I had a couple of good conversations today with men in our houses who are, you know, concerned about reconnecting with their family. And it isn't hard to figure out that at some point they were a little too strong, thanks, or had a little too much to say, or were a little too much this or a little too much this with someone in their family, and now it's all really bruised, and it's going to take some time to heal. And so I would say that when you feel pressed, hard pressed, in a corner, and you'll see why I'm saying he is there, those are the moments when we need to just stop and turn to the Lord. Some of you have been doing that for a long time. And some of you have hardly ever done it. I've got it right and wrong a few times. When I'm feeling like I'm trapped, I need to stop and turn to the Lord and just pray a simple prayer of asking for help. And I'm not handling this good. I don't like feeling trapped. There doesn't seem to be a good way out of this. And so that's the promise. We are hard-pressed or afflicted in every way, but not crushed. When we turn to the Lord, something happens and God says, this much, no more. This much, no more. He'll let us go through a certain amount, but he won't let us be, say it. Crushed. He might let us be, but he won't let us be. Crushed. And see, this is awesome. I was out the other night with some friends that I used to golf with, and there was a girl who had listened to me on radio and television who had wanted to meet me. She was the friend of this guy, and we were at a restaurant. And so I met her. She had known me years ago. It was just nice. We were just having maybe some nice conversation. And I noticed she had on her arm, she had only one tattoo. And maybe some of you'd like to say, I wish I only had one tattoo. But she had one tattoo, and it was 1 Corinthians 10:13. I happen to know that. It says, there is no temptation or trial, same word, that has happened to you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you're not going through anything that other people aren't going through. Nothing's happening to you that hasn't happened to others. There's nothing that you've gone through that isn't common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tried or tempted beyond what you are able, but he will, with the trial or temptation, provide a way of escape so that you're able to bear it. It's not going to crush you. When you're feeling locked in and closed in, look for a way out and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me the way out. And he will show you a way out. And it's that just a beautiful, beautiful truth. When I'm in a corner, he is there. Here's the second thing. When I don't understand, he is there. And that's the next phrase. Do we have it? When I don't understand, he is there. And the little phrase that goes with that is the phrase that says, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are perplexed. That idea of perplexed is just the idea of, it's a combination of Greek words, which just means I can't find a way out. I've just been wandering, and I don't know how I got in here. Anybody ever get lost? Did you ever get like lost? Walking downtown somewhere or something, or outside in the wilderness somewhere, and just don't know, which that's the idea here, where I can't think my way out of this. I don't understand what's happening. And again, the promise is that God is there for us when we are perplexed, but not driven to despair, okay? And then the third one is, when I'm under attack, he is there. So this one, I'm not imagining this. If I'm feeling trapped, I might not be. If I'm feeling lost, I might not be. But if I'm feeling persecuted, I more than likely am. And persecution is the idea of being pursued or chased. Anybody have a recurring dream where somebody's chasing them? Yep. Come on, anybody, don't leave me up here looking like a lunatic. Okay, sometimes you've had that. And I used to have a dream, and I don't have it anymore, but I used to have a dream that I went to school but forgot to get dressed. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm in my underwear. I was like, how could I have walked out the door all the way to school? No one stopped me. How did I get in here? I was very embarrassed. But this isn't imaginary. This is real. Persecuted. Someone is out to get you. Someone wants to defeat you. Someone wants to take you down or take advantage of you. And again, this promise, persecuted but not forsaken. When I'm under attack, he is there. And I don't know what all of you have in terms of theology of the evil one, Satan. Satan and Jesus are not equal. That's what Mormonism teaches, and it's wrong. Okay, Satan is a created angel who fell and took part of the host of heaven's angels, which the Bible says are innumerable. 10,000 times 10,000 and myriads of myriads is how many angels God made. You couldn't count them, more than people in the world. And a third of those fell, Isaiah 14 teaches. Satan led them in rebellion against God. They were in a perfect state, just like Adam and Eve, and they rebelled against God. And one third of them were cast down, and they became a demonic host that Satan leads with his demonic host. He leads a continual attack on God's people and God's purposes. Now, if you're living for the world, if you're living for the devil, he's not bothering you at all. He's super happy with what you're doing. But you start to get your life going in the right direction. And people, I've heard this from people all the time. Man, I just started to turn things around. That's when it got really hard. That's when it got really difficult. That's when it got really, it became a struggle. Yeah, because you're trying to go in the right direction. Now the enemy's throwing roadblocks in front of you all the time. And I'm not surprised when some guys leave here that they fall off, or that they fall off really fast. I'm not surprised that that happens. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. And because the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when I have pride in my heart, when I have bitterness in my heart, when I have competitiveness in my heart, I'm really saying, come and get me. Because the enemy will get in through that and he will stir up my thinking. One of the greatest leaders in the church is Martin Luther. Anybody ever heard of Martin Luther? Come on. Martin Luther said this: though we don't see the enemy Satan, we can often feel his breath. One time Luther was preparing a message and he felt the presence of the enemy so strongly trying to tear down what he was doing that he threw a bottle of ink at the wall. And that stain there, you can still go and see that. It's in the place where he was his study in Germany to this day. And when I am under attack, the answer is the same in all of these points. When I'm in a corner, when I'm constrained, he's there. When I don't understand, he is there. When I am under attack, persecuted, notice it says, but not forsaken. Not forsaken. Forsaken by people, maybe. Forsaken by brothers, maybe. By mothers, maybe. Forsaken by employers, maybe, or friends, maybe. But not forsaken by God. Never, ever turns his back on us, ever. And that's why he says persecuted, but not forsaken. It's just like a real positive talk he's given here. Afflicted, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not alone, not forsaken. And then here's the last one. Struck down, flat on your face, in other words. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's not how often you fall, but yeah, how fast you get up. How fast you get up.
That's right.
And when the enemy knocks you down, he's like, stay down there, loser. It's happening again. And just all the failures from the past come washing over you like you've never had a freaking day of victory in your whole life, true or false.
True.
And it's like, I'm right back where I started. I haven't made any progress at all. I was really proud of the guys this week who drove down and got Thomas and brought him back. I'm really glad that we did that, and I'm proud of that, and I'm grateful that we didn't abandon him. And I had a good chat with him today. I don't think he's here right now. Is he right there? Oh, there he is, slunking down there. All right, well, you were talked about here, and you were talked about in a very loving way, because we're very happy that you're back. And I said to him today, well, maybe you can value a little bit more what's here. I mean, those guys went and got you. Where'd you ever hear something like that before? And so who was it again? It was Rich and Nick. I know Nick's here. Thanks for doing that, Nick. Yeah, it is. It is our pleasure. I agree with you. And we need to be for one another. And if anybody's not for you, tell me immediately. Please, tell me immediately. And if anybody's not for Chuck, not for Bobby, they got a problem with me, okay? And I have no problem with the exorbitant cost of enduring brotherhood, but we are willing to pay it, and we will figure things out together. And I just am so, so blessed by these scriptures. I wanted to share them with you. In fact, I've been getting up every week and sharing a scripture at the beginning, but this time that's all I'm going to do. And I was reading about, I don't know if you'll remember this name, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Russian who was in a Second World War German Nazi concentration camp, a political prisoner, but he was a believer in Christ. And one afternoon when he was shoveling under a blazing sun, and for whatever reason emotionally, he just felt like he couldn't keep on working, and he stopped. Even though he knew the guards would beat him severely for stopping, and they might even beat him to death, he's just like, you ever get to that? I can't do this no more. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I've certainly been in that place. He just stopped. He felt he couldn't go on. And another prisoner, also a believer in Christ, just slipped ever so closely toward him with guards all around. He took his shovel and he drew a little cross in the dirt. And that gave him the strength. He picked up his shovel and he went back to work before the unspeakable happened. And that's what verse 10 is about. You say, how do you feel these things? How do you feel? We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I'm so embarrassed to say this, but I did it. Years ago, I preached that whole thing like I just preached it. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Isn't that great? We're struck down. Anybody ever feel knocked down? We're knocked down, but we're not destroyed. I thought that was the whole verse. I was like, rah, rah, rah. But the whole thing is verse 10. The whole thing is verse 10. How can you do that? How can you be knocked down but get back up again? How can you be completely confused but not despair because you can't figure it out right away? It's all in that verse 10, a verse that I've memorized. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This isn't the version that I memorized, but the version that I memorized says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know, you'll hear some people say, well, you should wear a cross, but you shouldn't wear a crucifix because Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Well, it says in the scriptures that we should always be carrying about inside ourselves the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because no matter what, I came around looking for you guys today. I found some of you, but not others of you. When I know your story better, I'll be able to say with more confidence, I don't think you've suffered to the extent that Christ suffered. I don't think there's anyone here probably that's, and not to mention the fact that he was sinless, he didn't deserve anything, and all the sins in the whole world were placed upon him. My problems come when I start thinking that I'm not getting what I deserve, that I'm getting shorted somehow. But if I'm always carrying about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that's when the life of Jesus is manifested in me. Because when I remember that he died, he paid a debt he did not owe, because I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid the price of my sin. Who does that? God does. God loves us that much that he sent his only son into the world, right? John 3:16. Whoever believes in him can have will not perish but have eternal life. And if I can keep remembering that the one who saved me, the one who gave his life for my forgiveness, there's the ultimate injustice right there. And that makes my little beef seem a lot smaller. And when I forget that, I have problems. And when I remember that, then the life of Christ is seen in me. Hey, you're not holding a grudge. Hey, you're not demanding that someone hear you. Hey, you're not asking somebody else to go the second mile again. Hey, you're humbling yourself. You're seeking to own your part. You're listening in to get a better understanding of how someone else feels. When we're doing those things, we're like Jesus. And when we're not, we're not. But when we are, that's when we're, as it says, we are afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Because when we are manifesting the presence of Christ by keeping in mind the injustice that he suffered, We begin to think ours is much smaller. We get a lot better in resolution. Christ is seen in our bodies. Christ, people see Christ in us. That's Christ in us. Not keeping score, not demanding from others. And that's a really, really, really awesome way to live. And when we do that, that's when we sense the Lord's presence with us. Now, I don't want you to put your hand up, but, and I know this for Bobby, I know this for Chuck, I know this for my wife, and some of the people I know better, but have you ever had a time in your life where you really sensed that the Lord was with you? That God had some faith, that you had some favor from the Lord, that things are just, I've had it going bad, and I've had it going really good. And I can tell you that when I'm carrying about the body of the Lord Jesus, his dying and what he suffered for me, and people are seeing Christ in me, then I'm sensing his presence with me, and I'm sensing his favor upon me. When I'm getting big, Christ is getting small. And when I'm getting small, Christ is getting big. And I sense his presence with me, and I have joy from that. John Wesley, if you've ever heard of the Wesleyan denomination, the founder was John Wesley, and I've actually been to the place where he was buried, and I'm very inspired by the life of John Wesley. Our second son, Landon, his middle name is Wesley because of that. And this is the sentence that John Wesley is most famous for. On his deathbed, after preaching to countless tens of thousands and hundred thousands of people come to know the Lord. There's a whole denomination all over the world because of the life that he lived. But on his deathbed, last words, John Wesley said, best of all, God is with us. That's the best thing. That God is with us. God is here right now. And he is here to minister to you and strengthen you and help you down the path that you know is the best and the right path for you to go. And whenever I feel like I get off that path, I start feeling afflicted and perplexed and despairing and struck down, when what I really want to feel is not despairing and lifted up and the Lord's presence with me, you see? So that's a big part of overcoming rejection and betrayal, is just always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Christ might be manifested through me. Okay? Father, thank you for this time of devotion. Thank you for every person in this room. This ministry is yours. It belongs to you, and we are reminded of that. We pray that you would help every person here who is seeking in their own way to advance this mission of seeing men living in freedom. And we pray that you would prosper our efforts in accordance with your will. And we pray that you would give us humility and grace. And we pray, God, for someone here tonight who might be struggling in a way that we don't know, that they haven't felt the freedom yet to share. Maybe they would talk to someone in their own house or someone here before they leave. But I pray, God, that you would cast out of anyone's heart any feeling that they might have of being alone. And so we commit ourselves to the purposes you have in store for us in Christ's name. Amen.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.